Progress continues to be made in Afghanistan and Pakistan. This according to the latest internal review by the administration. Now, just last hour, we talked with the Pentagon about the progress and the challenges that remain. Lieutenant Colonel John Dorian is a U.S. military spokesman for the International Security Assistance Force in Kabul, Afghanistan. He joins us for an on-the-ground assessment. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
Well, good morning. Glad to talk to you.
Let's talk first about the reviews and how they impact what it is you do on the ground and the morale as these reviews come through. Do you pay very strict attention to those reviews, or do you keep your head down and keep plowing forward? How does that work? What's the impact?
Well, it's gratifying to our troops to hear the progress that they're making acknowledged. Most certainly, it's very, very tough fighting, especially this past summer, very high violence levels. What happens with this kind of operation in counterinsurgency is when you put a lot of additional forces into an area that has historically been a Taliban safe haven, you expect violence to increase. That must happen in order for us to make progress and eliminate that safe haven for the Taliban and establish sort of a security bubble where the population in that area can develop better governance and begin doing some development and help the economy grow.
And do you feel that the troops there have the equipment and the backup that they need just from a technical and equipping standpoint to do this very difficult job?
Unquestionably, we're in a good position now. President Obama approved an additional 30,000 troops. Those troops have been on the ground for just, you know, the last of those troops just arrived in the last couple of months. And during that time, we've really been able to push into areas that had historically been sanctuaries where the Taliban had been able to have safe haven and stage and plan attacks into the population centers like Kandahar and even in Kabul up until a few months ago. So good progress being made, still extraordinary, very, very tough fighting by our troops on the ground. But we believe that we have the inputs right now in order to make some lasting security gains. Toughest part of this is we are certainly able to push the Taliban out. The part we're working on now is to build the Afghan National Security Forces so that they will be able to hold these areas, and then we can continue to grow the security bubbles around the population centers. Protecting the population is the key to counterinsurgency operations.
Earlier in the war, I talked to a couple of folks who had described the fight with the Taliban as almost like playing whack-a-mole. You knock them out one place, they pop up somewhere else. The way you've described it and the way we've heard it described by the Pentagon, that game is over. And the whack-a-mole seems you seem to have won out on that. Is that how you would describe it too, that it's no longer having to chase them down? You're in a more proactive position. And if that's the case, what will you then focus your efforts on?
Well, certainly the additional troops that we have has really put the Taliban in a difficult position because we have the forces to know what they're doing, more forces in the area. We can push them out. And the strategic part of this effort, the really, really important part, is at the same time we've really stepped up the pace of growth for the Afghan National Security Forces. They've grown by almost 70,000 troops in the past year, up to about 260,000 now. By the end of next year, they'll be well above 300,000. And what happens is, as we have enough forces, we're able to hold those areas and maintain the security so that governance and development will follow the confidence of the people and the government to provide essential services improves, and then they get more vested in keeping security in the area. And that's an area, you know, that's a situation that we're trying to create here, one in which Taliban nor Al-Qaeda have a safe haven. They just won't be welcome.
We are speaking with Lieutenant Colonel John Dorian. He's the U.S. military spokesman for the International Security Assistance Force. He's speaking to us from Kabul, Afghanistan. And if you hear a slight delay in the answers, that's why, because we have just a delay on the telephone line. And I wanted to get back to that idea of training the Afghanis to take over their own security. What are the big challenges in training people there relative to training troops in the United States, where everybody comes from, you know, a fairly similar, for the most part, American background and has the same cultural norms? What's it like to try to train the Afghanis?
Well, the Afghans you have to understand that they have a difficult human capital situation here. They've been at war continuously for more than 30 years. Literacy levels are very, very low. And we're just really in the infancy in the development and growth of their military. So the focus over the past several months has been to just get numbers, do recruiting, and assure that we have enough people, enough boots on the ground in order to, you know, maintain security in these areas. And now we're sort of transitioning the effort so that we can professionalize their military a little bit, increase literacy, increase professionalism, help them develop a non-commissioned and an officer corps, a professional officer corps. You know, for our military, I've been in for 18 years, and so if I take command of an organization, I have 18 years of experience in leading and managing troops before I take charge. This is an organization that is still in its infancy, so they don't have the benefit of having that experience, and therefore it's very important that we partner all of our operations. Really high levels of partnering are occurring throughout the country. More than 85% of the troops are partnered with Afghan units. Very, very important part of the effort.
And aside from the experience level, do you sense a desire on their part to become the kind of military force that we feel they need to in order to take on the battle of their own?
Well, unquestionably, there's a desire to do that. The military here, you know, the Afghans are a very tough group, and, you know, they're well ahead of pace in their recruiting numbers. They reached their October recruiting goals in July. They continued, and what we're finding is in a lot of areas, they're ready to take the lead. In the southern part of the country, down around Kandahar, more than 60% of the troops are Afghan troops, more than half of the effort, and in many areas they're taking the lead. And that's extraordinarily helpful because that wins the confidence of the locals. You know, they identify with their own troops probably more than they do the international forces, and that helps us because then you get better level of cooperation from the locals in finding improvised explosive devices, those IEDs that cause so many casualties and so much difficulty, not just for our troops, but for the Afghan people.
Well, we're coming close to our clock. We'd love to talk with you more, but I just had one final question, and that is, any special plans for the troops for next week's Christmas holiday?
Well, you know what? They always do an enormous job of making sure that we have some of the comforts of home. Certainly, it's tough to be away from family. They always put out a good meal for us. We actually had a U.S. go here today with Robin Williams and Lance Armstrong and Kix Brooks. So really good shows. We just we appreciate the support from home. It's absolutely magnificent, and certainly it's something where the troops, you know, also do a lot to take care of each other. So really great time.